good to see you, man. Good to see you guys too. And it's again, we're just excited to worship with you today. We do have a video that talks a little bit about the program. Again, you guys, many of you may know, but I'm never going to assume that you all know. Teen Challenge started many, many years ago in 1958 with a guy doing a street evangelism to gang members and alcoholics and addicts in New York City, a guy named David Wilkerson. And today, 60-plus years later, there's over 1,300 Teen Challenges in over 130 nations around the world. In fact, just last month, I went with the missions team, and we helped plant the first Nicaragua Teen Challenge that there ever has been, and so we've been helping build that. So God is using the vehicle of Teen Challenge to put hope within the reach of addicts around the world. And that's basically the essence of the Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the world to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey the things that he's taught us. And that's what we do at Teen Challenge. We put hope within reach of the least and the lost. And so this video will tell you a little bit about our programs, and then we'll let these guys share with you what God is doing in their lives and in their hearts. Thank you.
I remember time and again when a drug addict will walk through the door. You look in their eyes and you see hopelessness, you see pain, you see the suffering. Automatically, we embrace them with hope. We embrace them with love.
The substance abuse issue in the United States is a big issue, and it affects all aspects of society. And it not only affects just the individual, but it affects the entire family as well as the entire community.
So many times, those struggling with life-controlling problems have called a lot of places. They've maybe even been in programs before, and nothing has worked.
I remember shooting up and falling to my knees. I'd overdosed. And I remember thinking in my head that it was just the lowest point I'd gotten. It was, the next thing I know, I wake up and I'm still wanting more. And I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Those that are truly struggling with addictions are looking for places that they could truly overcome that addiction and find help in a safe place. And that is Teen Challenge.
I was so close to burning the bridge with my family, my mom, my sister, my children.
If I wasn't here, I'd probably be locked up by now. Even if I didn't get arrested earlier on, I'd probably get arrested again, and then I'd probably be in jail right now.
It was okay that I didn't have my family in my life. It was okay that I didn't have anybody else except for like this one person that I was in a relationship with. And I felt so miserable and lost, and I had like no hope.
I was sitting in Santa Rosa County Jail and realized that I couldn't do this on my own. I needed something way bigger.
From that very moment that they call, we're instilling hope in them that, you know what, in spite of what's happened, God can still turn this situation around. And Teen Challenge is that vehicle that God uses.
Teen Challenge offers a holistic program that is long-term for adults and adolescents that are struggling and have been struggling with addictions to different substances, whether that's drugs or alcohol, or even with our teens that are truly having problems in school. They can come to a safe place and be able to find quality staff that will pour into their lives and help them truly to live lives that are successful.
I now feel like I can tell somebody that you are loved. You know, we can get through this together, and that's what it's about, is getting through it together. You know, we need God and we need each other.
There are different opportunities scheduled for discipleship starting first thing in the morning. They do corporate devotions. And then we have opportunities to participate in our work experience program, and they learn how to put into practice and apply the lessons that they're learning in class and in discipleship curriculum, and deal with basically life in a brand new way that many of them haven't learned yet.
The thrift stores contribute to the students' future by giving them a place to handle adversities, work as a team. It provides a place for them to learn good work ethic. It also helps them reintegrate into society.
So after I got saved, that's when I realized all the changes happening. That it wasn't me that was wanting to do good, but it was God through me, like helping me. So that that really helped, and I was really happy about that.
It was exactly what I needed, to the T. It was exactly what I needed when I came here, and I'm so thankful for it.
When teens come, they're going to continue their education through a web-based school curriculum that's fully accredited and also receive counseling and attend family meetings. If you look at the big picture, 15 months out of your son or daughter's life, to have a life-transforming experience is not that long to be enjoying her for the rest of her life.
When somebody that was completely broken, completely lost, hurt, to see somebody like that turn around and decide to serve those around them, decide to change their life, to love their family, to forgive when it's the hardest thing they've ever had to do. When you get to see somebody walk through that transformation, that's huge. But then to watch them even step up more and say, all right, now how do I give this freedom to others? That's why I wake up every morning.
Hope is the solution, and that hope is found in Jesus Christ. And Teen Challenge is the organization in the Southeast region that can deliver hope.
I've experienced the joy and the peace that just comes along with trusting Him, with not worrying, knowing that He's faithful, knowing that He's a God of restoration. And it's the most beautiful thing. I mean, He is a Father that loves me.
My name is Kenny Edwards. I'm from Baxley, Georgia. Let me tell y'all a little bit about myself. When I was young, I came up with my mom. She was just a single parent. My dad, he was there. I mean, I spent a lot of time with my dad. I mean, even though they was divorced and they wasn't together, my dad still spent a lot of time with me. It wasn't until after I had got, in high school when I started smoking weed. I went on to college. I had a partial scholarship to Fort Valley State. I went there. I played football. I started smoking weed. It kind of messed me up a little bit because I had done stopped going to practice and stopped doing my studies and everything. You know how weed do you. I dropped out. And even after I had got out of college, I was still smoking weed, and it led into cocaine, powder cocaine. The powder cocaine led into crack. I went down from there. I started stealing out of Walmart. I started going in cars. I started going in houses. It did me real bad. It got to the point to where I started getting a whole lot of charges. I started going to jail a lot. And but to make a long story short, once I started going to church more, I started realizing that I needed help. And this last time, I really didn't know anything about Teen Challenge. It was the probation officer actually came to me about Teen Challenge. I didn't even really want to go to a whole year program. I wanted to go to like a 6-month program, thinking that just 6 months would do me some good. But it was meant for me to go here because they just kept coming to me and kept coming to me and asking me about it. And at first, I kept saying no, and then finally I went. I'm glad that I did come, though, because it saved my life. I was doing a lot of bad things out there. And if I wouldn't be here right now, I'd probably either be in jail or either be dead. So I thank God for Team Challenge, though. Thank y'all.
Thank you. My name is Noah Cochran. I'm 31 years old, and I'll just start by talking about my upbringing, I guess. I was raised in a Christian family. My mother and father always made sure we were in church. I had a very good upbringing. I had two older brothers. One's 8 years older than I am, and the other one is 6 years older than I am. And they got into, you know, some trouble hanging out with the wrong crowd and all. And because of their decisions, my parents were harder on me. They ended up sending me to Christian school, and my dad took every precaution he could to make sure that I wouldn't fall into that. And because of that, I was very sheltered. I wasn't able to do the things that other kids were able to do, hang out at other places, you know, kids were able to go, whatever. So I ended up turning to drugs. I smoked weed the first time when I was 15, and the very next day I was doing cocaine and methamphetamines. By the time I was 21, I just dabbled in the harder drugs, but I was still smoking weed, and I was a full-blown alcoholic. And as time went on, I ended up getting kicked out of college because of it. I went to a Christian university, got kicked out of that, come back, and wasn't able to really go back to school because of the record that I had from the university. Just started working for my dad for the most part. My family really didn't know what was going on. I was more of a closet drinker and did most of my stuff, you know, by myself and in secret. And it just eventually started taking its toll. I ended up having two DUIs, wrecked my car multiple times. And then this last time, I guess now it's been about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I started back on meth pretty heavy and ended up leading to me being arrested. And then Teen Challenge come up. And during the whole time that I was using, I wanted to quit. I desperately wanted to quit. And I just wished that God would just cause a miracle to happen and, you know, snap your fingers and it's over with. But that wasn't the case. So Teen Challenge did end up coming up after I got arrested. And it was what I needed. It was exactly what I needed. I was able to quit everything. And it was exactly what I needed. That was a long process that's taken place, but, you know, I didn't get to the point that I was at overnight, and, you know, I didn't expect God to fix me overnight, and that's all I got. Thank you, guys.
Highest King, the dwell of God. Coleman Sheffield. I'm 38 years old from Phoenix City, Alabama. I've been a drug addict my whole life. Started off young. You know, I was from a good family, but just smoking weed and drinking and one bad relationship after another bad relationship, you know, drugs. And God's always been there, been talking to me, you know what I mean, telling me, you know what I mean. Always been in the back of my mind, let's go to church, you know. And I'd go to church and I'd sit there and I knew the preacher was talking about God, but I wasn't listening. You know, it was going in one ear, right out the other. And you know, I got married. It was a bad relationship. I had a son. Divorced. Went to prison. It just goes on and on and on. It's just we're doing real, real good, and then bam, down in the bottom, start over again. Boom, go do real good, start over again. You know, just all my whole life. And I got with a woman and had three babies with her, and lovely, lovely little girls. And I woke up in a motel room, and it's been about a week or two, and I ain't seen them, I ain't seen her, I ain't talked to them, and I just woke up tired, started crying, and I was just sick and tired. I called my brother up, and I was like, look, help me. And he's like, I want to help you, Coleman, I really do want to help you, but you got to want to help yourself, you know. And I was like, well, I'm ready to help myself. You know, I really am ready to help myself. I'm ready to stop doing all this. And my sister-in-law come got me. And that wasn't good. You know what I mean? My sister-in-law, that ain't good at all. I was like, don't send her. Please don't send her. Because she was on me. You know what I mean? She was on me good. You know what I mean? For 4 hours, I heard about me. You know what I mean? I didn't really like that. But her and my sister come and got me, and my sister, they were calling rehabs, just calling rehabs, you know, one after another, after another, after another. Because my sister-in-law was letting me know pretty much, if you don't go to rehab, you got to get out now, you know, out of the truck. We're just going to drop you off, you know what I mean? So, but I was serious. I wanted to get better, you know, I really did. And I went, and they got a hold of Teen Challenge. You know, I mean, out of all the rehabs, they got a hold of Teen Challenge. And I got here, and you can't smoke cigarettes, and I had a whole carton of cigarettes that I wanted to smoke, and I couldn't do it. You know what I mean? And that was the kicker right there when I got out of the truck, and I was like, "Yeah, you can't smoke here." I'm like, "Woo, let's go!" And I couldn't go nowhere. But God's at Teen Challenge. I'm gonna tell you something about Teen Challenge. If you want to find help, if you want to get better, Amen. Teen Challenge is where you need to be. Amen. And if you don't know about Jesus, when you leave Teen Challenge, you will definitely know who Jesus is and what he can do for you. You will. And God loves you. I'm telling you, God loves you, and He's been in my life. There ain't no telling how many times that He should have just said, you know what, Coleman, I'm done. You know what I mean? I'm tired of helping you out. You know? And I love Jesus, and that is definitely the only reason I'm standing here in front of you and not methed up or drunk or messed up somewhere and still have a relationship with my family, and they still call me their brother and their son and all that stuff. But I got brothers, and I got brothers right here standing right beside me. They heard me whine and cry and all kinds of stuff trying to make excuses of why I want to leave and get on out of here and going back to my but I love them. I love Teen Challenge, and that's my story. Thank y'all very much.
My story really begins when I was 8. I was diagnosed with a chronic disease called ulcerative colitis, and it was very rare form that never quit aggressing. Me and my father didn't have a really good relationship. He used to tell me I was lying all the time when I wasn't feeling well. I got made fun of a lot at school because of my sickness, so I started trying to find my worth and approval in others. They started me on a series of medications, and including pain meds. And by the time I was 11, I had to have my colon removed. So they kept upping the pain meds and upping all the other meds that I was on. I started to realize as I got older that I could find escape from the pain and the suffering through the pills. met this guy online and got married to him a year later against my parents' wishes. He became verbally and physically abusive. I cheated on him, and we ended up getting a divorce. I went from bad relationship to bad relationship. I was physically abused. I started selling pills and taking even more drugs like cocaine and Xanax and anything I really could get my hands on. I got down to 73 pounds, and all I cared about was finding drugs. I barely even ate. I ended up taking my entire supply of about 120 Roxy's within 2 days. I realized I had nowhere to go, and my mom told me that it was either to live on the streets or to come to Teen Challenge. So I came to Teen Challenge, and since being here, God has shown me that He was there the entire time with me, and He has been in pursuit of me in my entire life. I found forgiveness and love and compassion, and I've learned how to show it to others. I've learned boundaries to have healthy relationships with people. I know that with God's hand in my life, anything could happen. You know, like so many people have failed us, and He's always there. And He has saved me from overdose and death. Because I've been on death's door so many times, and I didn't understand why. Or why I had to go through all of that, or why I have all the scars that I have. But I know that it will help somebody, and that my story will reach more people having gone through all of this. You know, I can see hope everywhere. The hope for a better future, and to be able to look back to what I've gone through and be able to see the hope from the journey through. When I had my colon removed, I thought that my mom was holding my hand the entire way to the OR, and she wasn't. And God has shown me that it was Him right there beside me the entire time.
This up because there's about 13 minutes, so I will try to keep my message down to about 45. Again, we've been here before. You guys have, we're family. Again, we're family. And thank you guys for sharing and testifying and being obedient to the Lord. You did a great job singing, and we appreciate that. And I hope you guys heard and felt the life today of what God puts in people. And as you heard Coleman say here, and it resounds throughout the videos and everything, Teen Challenge is a program. And at Teen Challenge, people meet Jesus. Now, they should be meeting Jesus everywhere and anywhere, but for many that don't, they meet Him at Teen Challenge, and then once they do, we try to help them along this journey of learning to live their life based on that relationship as the foundation of everything else. And that's really what we do. And I want to share a little bit, just a couple of scriptures that God gave me for today, which are some things that we try to instill into people. And it's the same thing, Pastor, that you're trying to instill into people every week, every day as you go out into the world and you're living out your faith. For those that are people of faith, our job is to go and put hope within reach of people, because the world is dying apart from Christ. And we were designed by God to take on the role of being the ambassadors of His grace and salvation to a dead and dying world. And so I just hope to challenge you guys with something today, which is something that we challenge our men to all the time. But that means that there has to be more than just a point of salvation. If we only come to a place of salvation and not maturation, we can never be effective for God's kingdom. So let me pray, and then we'll go forward. Father, I love you. Lord, I just pray that you would help me communicate what you put in my heart today and help us to receive what you have for us. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that happens and that we run into a lot is people trying to figure out God's plans and purposes and God's will. There's the good Christian term. I need to know God's will for my life. And I'm here to tell you what God's will for your life is today. Amen? Well, we're going to solve that one. We're going to get that one off the table. We're going to land the plane. How many of you guys would like to know God's will for your life? Anybody? Amen. Amen. So, and it's really easy because he told us in the Word. So I'm going to read to you from the book of Thessalonians. And Paul was writing to a group of people that he loved a lot. And they were having the same struggles. They were trying to figure out how to live out this brand new walk. Because it was brand new back then, just a few years from the time that Jesus died, was buried, rose again, and ascended into heaven. And this movement of Christ and of love and of not religion but relationship was in its fledgling stages. And so people were running into Jesus and they were experiencing the love of God differently than they ever had. And all of a sudden they were trying to then figure out how to live it out. And at Teen Challenge, that's what we do really well, is we try to help people learn to live out this walk, because it's difficult in a confusing world that's throwing life at us, that's throwing everything at us. And so Paul wrote in chapter 4 of the book of his letter to the Thessalonians, I'm going to read just a couple of verses. Verse 1 says, "Finally, brothers, we instructed you on how to live in order to please God. In fact, you are living now. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be holy." We've answered the question. That's God's will for you, and that's God's will for me. See, sometimes we get it twisted. We think, is it God's will that I can marry this person, or I take this job, or I go to this school, or... It is God's will that you be holy. And holy is not that grandiose a word. It simply means set apart. It means distinctive, different than. God's will for us is that we are, because we've been saved and because we've been formed into an image of Christ, that we are different than the world. So the way we go be married, the way we go do our jobs, the way we go live our lives day to day, in and out, go to school, is different. It's as unto the Lord, because He is the one that saved us. God gave us this love relationship for Him because He died, because He loved us so much, and then all of a sudden we realize it and we enter into this love relationship with God, and we go, man, we love you back, and this is really good, and I want to do everything I can to be pleasing to you, God, because you loved me first, and so I want to love you back, and so I can't do it the way I've always done it. I've got to do it different. I've got to be holy, because that's what's pleasing to God. God's will is that we're sanctified. Simply put, God cares more about who you're becoming than what you're doing. It doesn't really matter what you're doing. Now, don't get me wrong, it does matter who you marry, and it does matter those careers, but God's more concerned about you and who you're becoming in the process. Are you becoming a distinctive person? Are you becoming a holy person as you go to school? Are you going to live a holy life in your marriage and as a parent and as an employee? He doesn't care whether you're a ditch digger or a pastor or he's got a plan and a purpose for your life, but His first plan is for you. And sometimes we miss it. We get so caught up in the what do I need to do, and we want to be human doings instead of human beings. And God says, no, I created you to be and be distinctive. Be like me in this world that is trying to make you like it. God cares more about who you're becoming than what you're doing. And who you're becoming is really based on this other thing that God really cares about, and it's why. Then what? All through Scripture you can read, God is, in fact, in the Psalms or in the Proverbs, it says that God searches the heart of a man. All through the Scripture, God is dealing with people and their motives for why they do what they do, not just what they do. Again, it doesn't matter where you ditch a ditch, why are you digging the ditch? That's what God cares about. They teach all the way through the God word that we need to address. In fact, one of the prayers that David wrote in the Psalms was, "Search me, O Lord, in my inmost being. Check and see if there's anything amiss in me." Dave's paraphrased version, by the way. I think it's Psalm 134-ish. David said, "Search me. Check my motives. And if there's anything wrong in my motives, show me. Because I don't want to be that guy." I know for me, that is probably the biggest struggle of my heart. I'll come into things, I'll be like, "Man, that's a great thing. We can do that." And it may be a great thing. It may be a good thing. It may be something that I think is a wonderful idea. And then I come to God and I say, "God, this is a great idea. I should be doing this, right?" And I want him to rubber stamp my plans. And God goes straight to the motives of my heart. "But why are you doing that, David? Why do you want to go to school? Because it makes you feel better because you got a piece of paper to hang on your wall and now you can say you have a degree? Because you're insecure and you feel like if you have more knowledge, it'll make you more secure? I'm your security. Is there anything wrong with going to school and getting an education? Absolutely not. But why?" Teen Challenge, we introduce guys into a relationship with Jesus Christ that's real, personal, and tangible, and I've said that here before. And that tangible part is the part where they begin to learn to live it out. And what we try to do is help guys, as they experience this love relationship with God, go, "Oh, Lord, change my heart. Show me me. Help me to become what you've created me to be. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is when you deal with the motive of my heart. And it's not any longer about me, but it's about what you've done for me and my response of love to you." Another passage of scripture that kind of goes on with this and talks about the transformation process can be found in the book of Romans chapter 12. We're talking about life transformation here. At Teen Challenge, our goal is to offer life transformation to individuals through Christ-centered programs. Whether they're in the workplace, or whether they're in the classroom, or whether they're in the chapel, or whether they're in church on Sunday, or riding in the vans, they have this experience through the accountability of the brotherhood and the education and sitting underneath the Word of God and its authority to have God start to address their hearts and their motives and everything they do. See, a Teen Challenge is like a little pressure cooker, Pastor. They can't get away from it. We got rules and guidelines and people everywhere. And so if you're not supposed to listen to the secular radio station in the van, somebody in the van is going to call you out on it. And that's the accountability and the authority of the Word of God that says that you're supposed to live underneath the authority that God's placed you under. And are you going to obey God because you love him, or are you going to try to do what you want to do because you want to do it, or because you think you can get away with it? And it's those character development pieces that begin to transform our lives. And in the book of Romans, he was talking about another passage that talks about what this should look like. And in verse 1 it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's love for us, he died and transformed you. So in view of that mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God." It's God's will that we become holy and pleasing to him, and we do it by offering our bodies as living sacrifices, offering up, not that we go cut ourselves and kill ourselves, but we kill that self-will separate from God, do it my way thing that's in us, that says, "Gimme, gimme, my name's Jimmy," and we say, start to go, "God, I love you, so make me into what you've created me to be. Deal with the motives of my heart." And as you deal with the motives of my heart, my body and my actions and my attitudes will follow. Says, don't conform any. Oh, this is your spiritual act of worship. "Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to approve what God's will is, God's good, pleasing, and perfect will." Transformational change is moving from the way of the world to the character of Christ, and it's evidenced by our distinctive differences. Let me say that again, because that was a long sentence. Transformational change is moving from the way of the world to the character of Christ, evidenced by our distinctive differences. I don't do things the way I used to do. I don't do things for those same whys. I tell guys all the time, man, the difference between me now and the difference between me way back when was way back when I was running the streets, being a criminal, doing drugs, chasing women, doing whatever it is, I did whatever I wanted to do. And today, as I walk out this faith and love relationship with the God that created me and created you, the difference between me now and the difference between me then is back then I did whatever I wanted to do. And today, Pastor, I do whatever I want to do. My want-tos have changed. My whys have been transformed as I became more and more aware of this God that just loved me. It changed me. And it continues to change me. So my prayer today is that's what's working in you and your lives and in your families. Because that's the only keeping power there is. I can get people free from drugs and alcohol easy. I'll lock you in a room for 45 days. It's gone. It's out of your blood. It's out of your fat. It's in your bone marrow, maybe, depending on what you took. But that's really hard to get at. It's not going to impact your choices anymore. Now I got to deal with you. And if you don't fall in love with him who that first loved you, you're never going to be able to follow the path that he's laid out for you. Our goal at Teen Challenge is to offer life transformation to guys. And we do it by letting them know that God cares more about who they are than what they do. And we know that they get it, they understand, when they stop worrying about what they do and focusing on who they are. I know that in the program, I was a trained chef when I came in the door, Teen Challenge. I worked in one of the best private resorts in the world down in Boca Raton, Florida. Big, giant pink building. Private resort, five diamonds. I've worked for some phenomenal chefs. Cooked an egg white omelet for Wolfgang Puck. And I got the Teen Challenge, and they said, you're the laundry man. And so I started washing clothes and giving them back to the guys. And God began to deal in my heart. And as he began to deal with my pride, where I'm thinking, laundry, man, that's below me. And God began to deal in my heart. It began to change how I saw this. I had an opportunity to serve the other men that were in this program that didn't necessarily have or own anything. All they might own is that little bit of clothing and stuff that they had in their carrel. And so I had the privilege of taking care of it for a few moments once a week and trying to help provide a better place for them to be able to experience the love of God that I was experiencing. So I took on that mission of being the best laundry man that I could be. So I folded their clothes and I did it with care. And when I'd lay it out on their beds, and so it looked like a Macy's display, and if they'd give me hangers, I'd hang their clothes up for them and hang it on their little ladders on their bed. So when they came home, I was like, oh, my clothes are here, and they're great. Instead of my clothes are here piled on my bed and nasty. Clean, but not folded, not just piled. I tried to show love because I was shown love. My why changed. And when my why changed, my what changed, and my how changed. They could ask me to do anything, and I'd do it. They asked me to come to Dublin, Georgia, from Fort Myers Beach, Florida. I said, yes, absolutely. If that's where I'm supposed to be, then that's where I'm going to go. And 10 years later, we're still here, and we're seeing God do miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. See, when we get it, it's no longer about me. It's about the one who loved me before I could even love me. God cares more about who you're becoming than what you're doing, and more about why you're doing what you're doing than what it is that you are doing. And transformational change is moving from the way of the world to the character of Christ. And you can see it. It's evidenced in our distinctiveness. You go into the workplace, you go into the marketplace today, and people say, I'll do what you pay me to do, as much or as little. Man, you pay me a lot, I'll do a lot. You pay me a little, I'm going to do a little. In the kingdom, we do everything as unto the Lord. So whether I'm digging a ditch and getting paid poor, I'm going to do it the best I can, because that's going to bring glory to God, at least in my heart. And you know what ends up happening? As I continue to try to give glory to God in what I do, the world takes notice. Why is that guy digging the ditch that wide? Why are the edges perfectly sharp and the dirt's piled up neat? Why is he doing that? They may never ask me, but I may end up getting blessed in the promotion because I'm distinctive among my peers. I'm not only there for the almighty dollar, I'm there for the almighty Lord. And I realize that he's placed me there, so what I'm doing there, I'm doing as unto him, in hopes that maybe one day they'll ask me, dude, why do you dig a ditch that way? Well, because you know what? God gave me a job, and so I'm going to do the best job I got. And now I've given glory to him. And it may provide me a blessing, it may not. But my purpose, my why, is no longer the self-serving end. It's the glorifying the King of Kings. I tell you what, I couldn't have made the changes that I've made in my life, and nobody can make the changes like that. Nobody can deny yourself and take up your cross and follow after Jesus unless they've experienced the love of God. If you haven't experienced the love of God, you're not going to do it. And I'm here to tell you today, if you don't know that kind of love, there's a God who loves you that much. And if you've never accepted Jesus into your heart in a way that has transformed your whys, then today's your day. Because the uncreated God of the universe who saved me and set me apart has the same plan for you. And it starts as you get in. You can't live a holy life that pleases God until you come into a relationship with God. That's the starting place. That's the foundation. And if you haven't met him, today could be your day. You can come up. You can meet with Pastor. You can meet with us afterwards. We're going to say a prayer here in a minute. I'm going to hand the microphone back to Pastor. And he's going to offer an opportunity for anybody that may need to know Jesus to meet Jesus. And I challenge you, look inside. Have you been walking this walk with a motive of, I don't want to go to hell? Sorry, that's a selfish motive. I've seen a lot of people who have made a commitment to Christ on fear. I had a conversation with my mom the other day, Pastor. She came over to my house. We were sitting at my kitchen table, and she was telling me that when she was a child, she met God. She grew up in the church, and she made a commitment to Christ in fear, and then lived in fear for years. Until she ran into Jesus and fell in love. And that love stomped out the fear. And she began to live a life of change. Now, I'm not going to get into the once saved, always saved. Did she get saved when she was here or when she was there? I don't know. I don't live outside of time. I'm not God. But I know this from the testimony of my mother's mouth. That she came towards God at a youth camp out of fear, and experienced the transformational power of God when she fell in love with him some 15 years later. And I see so many in the world and in the church today that come to God out of a selfish motive. I don't want to have to deal with the pain. I don't want to have to deal with hell and eternity. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to do. But at some point, there has to be a God, I see you for who you are, and I love you because you love me first. That's a relationship. The other one's a dictatorship. And God said he wanted to, God came to earth to walk with us, not to rule us. He is ruler. He doesn't have to be. Does that make sense? Pastor, I want to give this back to you, and if you want to take it. Thank you for allowing us to come today, folks. Appreciate you.
Thank you for sharing, guys. You know, it's interesting. I can summarize everything real simple. From everything that you said and everything that he said, it comes down to the fact that God is love. And God loves you regardless of what you've done. We've all done things in our lives that we're not proud of and that we are ashamed of, and whether it's drugs or anything else. God loves everybody. And God also pursues us. You remember the parable of the lost sheep? Jesus went out and got the sheep. Sheep had wandered away. God is pursuing. That's the testimony that was shared. God was pursuing you. He was constantly after you. He's still pursuing. But we have to respond. He can pursue it. And like the prodigal son went on his way. Remember that? He had to come back and respond to the love. That's what the invitation's all about. It's your opportunity to respond to God's love and to obey Him and to give your life to Him. Let's all stand as we sing Amazing Grace. Let me have prayer here. Dear Lord, we thank You for our service today. We thank You for everybody that's here. We thank You for the love that's in this place, the love that You're showing right now, the love that we're reminded of, and the love that's in each of these lives. I pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would work right now and that You would be convicting and leading somebody to come back to You. We ask in Jesus' name. Amazing Grace.